Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today, I'm looking forward to sharing my interview with Dr. Emily Levy, who is the founder and director of EBL Coaching. Dr. Levy is passionate about using research-based multisensory techniques to improve literacy. And you know, that is music to my ears. I love talking about literacy and different strategies that we can use to improve reading comprehension and all things reading. So today we're kind of focusing on reading comprehension. We cover a lot, but we focus specifically on reading comprehension. We discuss why this is a really common challenge for so many students and what are some of those missing prerequisite skills that some of our kids need. Dr. Levy shares a lot of actionable and multisensory strategies that teachers and parents can readily utilize in the classroom or home setting. I love that her ideas are real world based, things we can do right away and can really build up that engagement. Hi, Dr. Levy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm looking forward to talking about one of my favorite topics, which is reading comprehension. I see this so consistently as something that children struggle with of all ages, and it really has such a long-lasting impact. Why do you think this is such a common struggle for so many learners?
Well, I think it's hard to really know the reason, but I think that a lot of kids have difficulty with language. And of course, reading comprehension is an aspect of language. And really, if we're not able to comprehend what we read, it can sort of negatively affect all aspects of school. So I think that's why it's such an important skill to work on developing if it's an area that a child is struggling with.
I've noticed that with my own child, who's a third grader, that there's such a big jump from you're learning how to read and now you're reading to learn. And you can just see how kids very quickly get left behind.
Absolutely. And that is a pretty critical shift around that third, fourth grade level where, like you said, we do transition from learning to read to reading to learn. That emphasis on comprehension becomes so much greater at that time.
So you mentioned that struggle with language. So thinking about our learners that have some type of diagnosis or special needs, can you talk a little bit about that role that language plays in reading and reading comprehension?
Sure. Well, language plays a huge role, especially in reading comprehension. It plays a big role in listening comprehension. So as students move through school, more and more, they'll start to have to listen to a teacher, process the information that they hear, eventually take notes and get that information down. So when there's a language challenge, it affects so many aspects of school. Of course, being able to read various types of passages, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, abstract language, language, there's so much language that kids will encounter, and even more so as they move through school.
And if they're already struggling with that processing just in general, then when we apply it to a text, it gets even more challenging.
Absolutely. So much more challenging. But the good news is that there are some great strategies that can really help kids build these core skills.
So I love that. And I know that this is really your area of expertise, and not to like ask you to summarize, you know, your life's work into a podcast interview, but what are some actionable strategies and what kind of some big picture techniques have you seen be really successful in this area?
Well, there are so many different strategies and techniques, and so many that are really individualized to kind of the specific needs of each student. With that said, I'm happy to share some ideas that I've found to be really effective. One is, and this is something that a parent can do pretty regularly with their child, is that when they're reading, either when the parent is reading out loud to the child or the child is reading out loud to the parent, it's really important to be actively engaged in the text. So don't just have your child read an entire chapter or multiple chapters out loud, of course, if they're older and able to do that, but ask them questions along the way. What do you think that character looks like? How old do you think they are? What do you think their house looks like? What does their backyard look like? So help them create visual images of what they're reading. And like I said, have lots of dialogue about the plot. What do you think is going to happen next? How do you think that character is feeling? Why do you think that may have happened? So the more dialogue we can have when reading, the more active readers our kids will become, and more, the more we can help with language. We can also talk about any prior knowledge we might have about a topic. Let's say we're about to read a book about a storm and we've experienced a really bad storm. Maybe we talk a little bit about that first, or maybe there's a place we've been to that's similar to the place in the book. So kind of talking about that prior knowledge is also helpful. And then sort of a concrete strategy, which is great for kids who I would say are in upper elementary and beyond, is a tricolor highlighting strategy that we use. It's research-based. That's really also a great way to help kids become active readers. And what we do is we teach kids that there's three elements we should look for when we read. The first is the topic, which is one, two, or three words describing the passage, like the beach or hot dogs. And we learn to highlight the topic in blue. Then the next element we look for is the main idea, which is what the author is saying about the topic. So let's say the topic was the beach. The main idea might be there are many different activities you can do at the beach, and we would highlight that in green. And then we would look for those important salient details and learn to highlight those in yellow. So again, instead of being just a passive reader where we're just reading or listening, we're actively engaged in the text. So those are just some ideas. There's so many more out there, but those are just some ideas that I found to be really helpful.
I love those suggestions that are engaging the learner, because I think that's what's sometimes hard for kids. They're like, I just sit there and what do I do? And your first suggestion on, you know, creating that dialogue, I loved that all of your examples were not like the concrete questions of like, who is in the text? What is the setting? They were much deeper and abstract on thinking about, what do you think it looks like? What would we do differently? And I think sometimes we get stuck at those like concrete questions and don't go beyond.
Yes. And in fact, for many kids who struggle with language, a lot of times it's really the abstract language that they have immense difficulty with. So bringing in those questions, attacking the abstract concepts and questions can really be helpful for that as well.
And I liked the creating like the picture, like, what do you think that house looks like and the character looks like, and leading to that visualization component for comprehension.
Yeah, there's a lot of research that tells us that if we can teach kids how to visualize information that they're reading, it really can help with their comprehension.
I know you do a lot of work with multisensory techniques. Can you talk, and that kind of was kind of starting that conversation here even with this, but why is that important to think about like that whole child and the whole context of while they're learning to read?
Well, a multisensory approach is particularly helpful for kids who are neurodivergent, who have a learning disability, ADHD. They really need that multisensory approach. And when I say multisensory, I mean that we integrate the visual, the auditory, and the tactile kinesthetic modalities when teaching. With that said, so many kids who are neurotypical also really benefit from this approach, and they find it so engaging. So it kind of goes back to a little bit about what we were talking about before, and that rather than just being passive in the learning process, they become an active part of it by using their senses, which in turn really helps them learn and process information that much better.
And I think that kind of maybe old school traditional classroom setup is just not the right kind of strategy and setting for so many learners that need that active engagement of like sitting and listening or being just like part of a large group and reading. There's not that engagement, or like you said, using all modalities.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a small percentage of kids that learn fine that way and may even thrive with that traditional approach to learning. But at this point, I would say the majority of kids really benefit from more of that engaging multisensory approach to teaching.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So what does that look like in a classroom? How does that look different than maybe that more like traditional old school, you know, mentality that we would envision?
Sure. Well, it parlays itself in different ways, depending on the skill, depending on the subject. But just to give you an example, let's say we were teaching young kids how to read, more of the mechanics of reading. Well, what we might do is, let's say we're introducing the letter P. We might have a giant flashcard or even put it on the smart board, the letter P, and we have a key picture, like the picture of a pig. So we might say, this is the letter P, like pig, it makes a sound P. And then we might have the kids stand up and trace the letter P in the sky. So we might say, when we write the letter P, we go down, up, and around. We may even bring in shaving cream or colored sand and have them trace the letter P in the sand or in the shaving cream. And again, say out loud, down, up, and around. And then we might bring in magnetic tiles. And we might say, okay, we've learned the letter P, we've learned the letter A, we've learned the letter T. Let's work on blending those sounds together to form the word pat. So again, rather than that traditional passive approach to learning, we're engaging those senses as we teach kids these key skills.
As kids get older, how can we still incorporate that kinesthetic component, especially in that movement? This is broad generalization. I think a lot of great early childhood teachers do that already, and it's awesome. And then all of a sudden it's like we get to those older, you know, elementary grades, and now we've got to sit for half an hour and like our kids are just squirming.
Sure. Well, we can still use similar tools, but at a kind of a higher level, meaning not as, quote, babyish. So we can still do table writing. We can do, when kids are ready, instead of focusing on individual letters and key pictures, we might focus on the morphology of words with flashcards, prefixes, suffixes, and roots. We can integrate multicolored highlighters as another visual tool. So we can use, like I said, a similar kind of approach, but just sort of higher level tools.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice for parents that are like, oh my gosh, this is what I want in my kid's classroom, but I'm not getting it, and they're rapidly falling behind? What advice do you give for parents in that situation and what supports they can give?
Well, that's a tricky one. And of course, not every classroom, not every teacher uses that multisensory approach. And not, like I said, not every single child necessarily needs it. However, I always say that if a parent is noticing their child is struggling, whether it's at home doing homework, whether it's in class or with the quizzes and tests that they're getting back, the first thing they should do is reach out to their child's teacher and have that conversation, see what the teacher's noticing. Is the teacher noticing a struggle with a skill, with a set of skills, with focus, with attention? And if the struggle becomes more profound, it continues, it may really be helpful to have an evaluation done. And of course, parents are entitled to a free evaluation. And that would really help to kind of shed a little bit more light on whether perhaps there is something deeper going on, like a learning disability, autism, ADHD, and so forth. And then if that's the case, then really the child will be entitled to specific services that are appropriate for their needs. So it is a little bit of a process, but I think step number one is, you know your child, and if something doesn't seem right, start by reaching out to their teacher and then go from there.
Yeah, that's always that gut instinct that you have to follow, even, you know, you have to listen to that, I think.
Exactly. Parents always know their child best. Yeah.
Let's talk about homework. What advice do you have for parents that are struggling with homework? And as I said, my oldest is a third grader. So this is my first, I think, season experiencing homework as a parent, not as a teacher or as a clinician. So that whole setting is so different. I always laugh at myself, like former teacher, BCBA, but it's all different when it's your own house and it's your own kid, right? So what advice for kids that struggle with getting homework done and really being effective in that area?
Sure. Well, first off, it's always different when your own child. When it's your own child, I know that feeling myself. But I think there's several different strategies that we can use to help kids develop stronger homework skills. So first off, I always like to say setting up a regular homework space is really helpful. That might be a desk in the child's room. It could be a spot on the kitchen table if all that's available. But number one, the key is being consistent with that space. And number two is always having the supply stocked that the child may need, whether it's pens, pencils, a computer, highlighter, scissors, whatever it is, it should be fully stocked in that space. If the child's working on another table, like a dining room or a kitchen, even having a little portable caddy with the supplies in that caddy that they take back and forth is something that's helpful. But we want to have a consistent space. We also want to have a consistent time for when they do their homework. Now, this may vary a little bit based on activities and so forth, but some kids do really well getting their homework done right when they get home. Other kids like a snack break, a movement break, and then they do it. But trying to set up a consistent homework time is really key. And then the other piece is also really encouraging your child to use an assignment book. I know that there is a trend to just have all the homework assignments posted online, or kids think they can keep it in their mind. But it really helps to see a visual planner of these are all the assignments I need to do. And let's cross off each one as I do it and put it in the right place in my backpack to be turned in. That really helps the child build independence, build study skills, build homework skills, and really helps all around with homework.
Yeah, I love that. I think the setting is key too, because when it's like the TV's on or other kids are around, having that like school space, just like we would in our classrooms, is important.
Exactly.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about your strategies for Study Success Program and how that kind of came to be, where that initially developed from.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a workbook series that I developed over the course of many years. It's a research-based workbook series. Now I believe I have 22 books in the series. And it focuses on teaching students strategies for reading, comprehension, writing, test-taking, note-taking, and executive functioning skills. So there's several different components within the workbook series. But it really developed over time, mainly because I couldn't find anything out there that I felt was really effective that would not just teach kids these important strategies, but give them lots of practice applying those strategies. So that's really how all of the workbooks are structured. A new strategy is introduced, and then the kids have lots of practice and repetition in order to really grasp those new strategies. And then the idea is that they learn the strategies kind of in isolation using these workbooks, and then we teach them how to apply those strategies to their relevant schoolwork. So that's kind of the next step, is really bridging that connection.
I love that direct instruction piece, because I think, especially with executive functions too, that's like missing a lot. We expect our kids to just like observe that and then learn, but having that purposeful, focused, direct instruction is so key.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to what we were saying before. Some kids can pick up on strategies or figuring them out on their own, but the majority of kids really benefit from that direct instruction.
Yeah. What ages is your program geared towards?
Well, our tutoring program, it starts as young as the preschool level, and we go all the way up through the adult level. So we really work with kids of all ages. We always kind of come up with that individualized learning plan that's based on each child's needs, each child's levels, and really the skills that they need the most help with.
Nice. And then do you support mostly parents or teachers as well? Kind of a little bit of both.
You mean when working with the child, or?
Yeah, and I think for your strategies for study success, your workbook program, is that something that could go in a classroom?
Yeah, absolutely. So many schools actually nationwide are using our workbooks. And yes, it's been really beneficial for teachers to use as resources within the classroom. Many parents do use them. They, you know, often order them from our website and use them with their child at home. So that's another resource. And then kids who are a little bit older can start to work independently with them to really build those key skills.
Awesome. Well, can you share a little bit on your website and where people can go to learn more about your tutoring program as well as the other programs that you offer?
Absolutely. Well, our website is eblcoaching.com. That's E like Edward, B like boy, L like Larry. And on our website, there's lots of different articles I've written about different educational topics, tips for parents, lots of resources just for parents to learn more about different educational topics. There's the workbooks that I've written. And then, of course, there's more information about our tutoring program, which we do, by the way, not just locally in person in the New York and New Jersey areas, but for many years now, we've been doing virtual tutoring nationally and even internationally now. So it's been a really a nice way to connect with kids that may not have this kind of specialized tutoring, Orton-Gillingham tutoring in their local area. It's an opportunity, to kind of expand to those kids as well.
Awesome. Well, I will add that link in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me. So I always love talking about reading and hearing about other approaches and strategies. And I think the better we as a field can get at this, the better it is for our kids. So thank you so much for joining.
I completely agree. This was a great conversation. And thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.